Welcome to The Gloria Show. Founder and CEO of Personal Dynamics, Gloria Sloan, shares strategies for personal development on command to enrich, elevate, and empower, aiming to help listeners become the best version of who they want to be. Gloria says ultra-successful people never stop reaching for new heights, learning new skills, and finding fulfillment. The Gloria Show will lift your spirits with inspiration, offering new insights into challenges that could be standing in the way of your success. So please, welcome your host, Gloria Sloan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Gloria Show. I hope your week has started with a good, fine weather and everything else, good health. Hope you had a good Easter holiday. And now we are going to kick this show off with talking about how exhausted and still showing up, a conversation on burnout recovery. We've talked about this before on the show, and we've had people to come on and give their stories on various ways that occupational burnout has just really taken a lot out of them, and where they really had to start from scratch to come back to life almost, and how the structure of things, the way things were, just basically destroyed them in many ways. So today we're going to speak with Dr. Lashana Wiggs, who is going to tell her story and give us some information on how you can overcome, be resilient, and move forward even after going through so much horror and drama of occupational burnout. We're going to talk about the impact of productivity, and she's going to share how that has a bearing on mental health and overall well-being. And did you know that nearly 3 in 5 workers report experiencing negative impacts of work-related stress, including lack of motivation, emotional exhaustion, cognitive awareness? And she's going to shed light on the often overlooked signals of burnout and the issues that fuel in the workplace, with a focus on real solutions and human-centered leadership. She's going to guide you today through practical strategies for recovery, resilience, and preventing burnout before it begins. Whether you're a leader, an entrepreneur, or a professional juggling multiple responsibilities, this conversation will help you find clarity, balance, and hope. So I welcome my guest today, Dr. Lashana Wiggs.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good. Welcome. And I know we're going to get right to it, but I want to share with the audience a little bit about your background. So, can I do that? Dr. Lashana M. Wiggs is a dynamic leadership strategist, educator, and founder of Savvy Consulting, LLC, a firm specializing in human-centered change management. With over 20 years of experience spanning corporate, government, and nonprofit sectors, she has helped organizations align people to drive transformation and the impact that it has on them. Dr. Wiggs is passionate about developing leaders at every level and is the visionary behind the demystifying the corporate climb ecosystem, which includes a book, Leadership Conference, and Youth Leadership Initiative. As a professor at UNCC Charlotte, Belt College of Business, she brings real world insights into the classroom and champions every inclusive, practical leadership development. She holds certifications as SHMR Certified Professional CP and Certified Behavioral Consultant, and is a sought after speaker known for her authentic, insightful approach to leadership, culture, and equity. And we have this joke that we have established that we had to go all the way to Paris, France to meet. all of the skills and talents and all of this right in the same city together. And it was just so interesting. But, you know, as God would have it, that was meant to be. And since then, we have talked and about so many things. And I am so glad she could squeeze time out of her very busy schedule to come and be on the Gloria Show. So I want to welcome Dr. LaShawna Wicks right now. Would you please just jump in and start your story? You can start anywhere you like. I've heard you, and I'm ready to listen again, because every time you say certain things, it sparks even more of your journey. So please start wherever you would like.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't necessarily see myself where I am today. I started out as, you know, coming into the work world, wanting to be a social worker and change the world. But I left college not being able to find a job as a social worker. And I ended up in the financial services industry and actually loved the work that I was doing there, and decided that I would stay in corporate America. And I was like, well, if I'm going to stay in corporate America, I might as well get a business degree to go with it. And I thought I would never use my social work degree in the corporate world. And as I began to grow and evolve in the corporate sector, I realized that I was using my social work degree more than I ever thought I would. In dealing with people and leading people and, you know, leading organizations. But along the way, you realize that all managers aren't good managers. And I developed the motto that people don't quit jobs, people quit people. And so I got to the point where I wanted to help develop better leaders in the workplace. I had gotten to a point in my career where I had gotten to the executive level, and I felt like I was doing well. It looked good on paper, but I had kind of worked myself into the ground and didn't realize it until my doctor said, you can't continue like this. You cannot go on. And I was having panic attacks, just, you know, going from meeting to meeting. And I found myself, you know, sitting in the car crying, not understanding why. And that's when I realized I needed a change. I was not a whole person anymore. And when I decided to go back to get my doctorate, I spent a year researching burnout, because I wanted to know what I was being impacted by, what exactly was happening to me, and then how would I get out of it. And so I left my corporate career and I started my consulting company. And it set me on a new trajectory. I started to teach, I started to speak on the topic, and consult and helping companies identify those triggers and those signals in their employees to help, you know, one, ensure that you have a whole person that is in your organization, and that we are not negatively impacting the people who are under our care, is how I see it.
Well, that is great, because in the past we have talked about how burnout affects you in so many, many, many ways, different people, different things. It can go beyond stress, and you don't really understand what's happening to your body, your mind, and I say soul too, because you end up doing and saying things, and your, as they say, disposition in life, everything can change. And, you know, I too have looked at this thing about burnout. There are so many different causes that cause people to burn out on a job, or even there are people who can get burnout if they're not careful running their own businesses. They just have to be mindful of where they are at any given point in time. But When you're overwhelmed, when you allow yourself to, number one, take on more than you can handle, and when there's not a clear communication between you and management. And I have found in talking to people that that's one of the main things when you're looking at it from a corporate structure, is when you don't have a good communication or something that's workable with your in-house group, those people that you have to get up and go and face every morning, and they expect 150% of you. And there's just so many challenges because everybody's not communicating on the same level, and there's just so many things that come up. So I know you have identified some of the issues and some of the things, and I'm just wondering, can you speak to me about the things that you noticed in particularly, as you knew something was going on, but you couldn't put your finger on it in terms of all the stuff that was going on in the occupation that you were in.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right on with communication being a large factor in, the burnout scenario. I think another thing that I realized is as I was kind of working through, my position, I did not find fulfillment in the work that I was doing. And that's another cause of a burnout, that chronic continuous feeling of the work that I do does not matter. And doing that for over time contributed to the mental exhaustion, the physical exhaustion, having unrealistic expectations of the work that you are responsible for also contributes to that as well. And we don't necessarily think about those things, but they are taxing on your mind and on your body, as well.
It definitely can. I know I recall a person expressing to me that it had gotten so bad with her that it was like a dread. You dread There were things she did used to do with good ease, but it got to the point where it was a dread. She dreaded and every little thing, and it got to the huge point that she actually dreaded going to work. I mean, she knew she needed the job, the money, and all of the above, but her mindset wasn't there, and she literally dreaded going there. And it took her some time to go through the process of actually leaving. It's kind of like how she put it. She said, and this might sound strange, she said it was kind of like a marriage gone bad, and you knew you need to get out of it. And she said, I just
Don't know
didn't
how.
know, right, I didn't know how. So I had to go and talk to someone about how do I end this relationship without it tarnishing my career and doing the other things. And so she was so upfront about it. She said, I had to get out of it. I knew I had to get out of it, but I just didn't know how. So, having said that, and now that you have your company set up to address these things, individuals in itself, before they even leave a job, you are a resource that people can talk to. I mean, because you're doing it with companies and corporations and helping groups. But I wonder, from a coaching standpoint, I know you never said anything about coaching, you're more consultant driven, but is that a possibility that some people really need help trying to get away from a job?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the biggest advocate because I used to as well. I think at one point I had two coaches and a therapist. So you really need that support. I will say for myself, my job was my identity. And to not have that job, I didn't know who I was. And so I had to really dig deep and figure out, who am I outside of the title that I have, outside of the position that I have? And I needed individuals to help me see my value, see my worth, outside of this career that I feel like I had amassed. And oftentimes we need help with that. You need someone who's objective to help walk alongside you in order to help you identify those things. And if you're like me, I didn't just need one coach, I needed two. And I thought I needed all of these people to help me to really identify what I already had inside of me. So I'm the biggest advocate for one, the therapy, right? So I needed to be able to unpack all of the things that had happened to me in my corporate journey, and then the coaches to help me figure out how I was going to create an action plan on being able to move from stuck of where I was to growth where I needed to be.
Where you needed to be. And that is truly because as a coach and as a life coach, and again, when you talk with people, if you are coaching from a career development part of it, and this is what we hear as coaches, we hear this and we hear, well, I want to do this, I want to do that, I've got a degree in this and a degree in that. And that is where I've seen a lot of people shift gears. I know you said you had a degree in one thing, but you ended up doing something else. And this happens so often with people who experience burnout. And what I usually say when I am talking to people is that's why I always push, have a backup set of skills, know how to do more than one thing. I preach it, I say it all the time, because when you put all your skills, all your energy, everything you know in one thing, in one job, and something comes up and out, and then you're stuck, and you know, you ended up, you know, you either got to go and take whatever you can find if it's considered a job. But I am an advocate for people really, really exploring every skill. Don't leave anything turned over. I say it in my books. I say it when I'm talking, and definitely when I am coaching. I say to people, have an extra set of skills and more than one. Because yeah. I know entrepreneurs do it all the time. We have to know how to do a number of different things. When you have a business set up, you know, we have to do it in order to be able to have cash flow. I mean, really. And that's why entrepreneurs know how to turn more than one thing. They know how to turn a dollar into this. And I'm just being very transparent with it. Yeah. If you're a business owner, you automatically learn how to pull those skills out. Well, I say the same thing to people on a job. And if you know you're heading for burnout, there are signs that LaShonda's going to talk about that you can see. And when you see things coming, and as good as the money is, I mean, I have had people on this show to tell me they have walked away from what was an ideal salary to have a peace of mind and to be able to transform into something else that ultimately embraced, and they became richer in a different way because they enjoy what they do now. And it brings fulfillment, it brings pleasure, they have the time. And this is something why you know, coaching is good. Coaching is good, and having a confidant to be able to explore those. So thank you for putting some light on that, because I tell you, people really struggle with it. Well, how do you define occupational burnout? And what is it, the difference between being burnout and just being tired or stressed? You know, we're talking about that, but how do you define it?
Yeah, so to me, occupational burnout is the chronic, continuing and ongoing stress that you experience as it relates to your workplace environment. So being tired or being stressed at a certain point is not necessarily burnout. Burnout includes three different components. It's emotional exhaustion, it's personal kind of feeling like you have impact in your organization, and cynicism, right? So really kind of being aloof to the things that are going on in your organization. So if those three things kind of come together and you have that over an extended period of time, that causes burnout. That's where you start to see physical manifestations of burnout, you know, the mental manifestations of burnout on on your body. And so it's chronic. It's something that is ongoing that you feel like you don't have relief from.
Wow. Wow. That, and it's beyond stress at that point. You know, again, I've heard that if when you're on a job and in a situation and doing something, that it could just really make you sick. I mean, yeah. When I say that, I mean sickness in a way that you hate it so bad that it bothers a lot of things. And you know how people say stuff can get on your nerves? Well, I have been looking into that, and I found somebody that I know that could talk about it, that how you're, yeah, that people, things, it's a fact, can get on your nerves, and that it comes out in different dosages and different ways. But even a job can do that. A job can get on your nerves so bad that you're a nervous wreck when you get there, you know, and whenever you have to clock in to get in, and it can cause a less productive environment. And, you know, and believe it or not, I'm a firm believer that this is why, unfortunately, so many people get fired or laid off from the job. A lot of times it's something that happens, but unfortunately it causes them to lose their jobs when they don't identify it with it as being burnout. They have let it run into something else, and then before you know it, you're on the chopping block, or you're being called in and saying, well, you know, this is not, you know, you missed this meeting. They give you a list of things, and I understand this does really, really happen. And so the forewarning of being burnout, when you can catch it and know it's coming, oftentimes can save your job long enough for you to go out there and find another one. What do you think?
Yeah, I do agree with you. Absolutely. You know, while we were during the pandemic, something called quiet quitting,
exactly.
Quiet quitting, you know, I'm just going to come, I'm going to do the bare minimum, and I'm going to get my check and go home. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is, it's part of that burnout scenario. You have gotten to a point where you don't feel invested enough in the job, invested enough in the organization in order to give your best, right? And so that is where the productivity comes in. When you have people who are stressed beyond measure, who are not able to bring their whole self to work, you are going to get one more errors by individuals in the organization. You're going to get people who are not as invested in the organization, and you're going to start getting that quiet quitting. I'm going to come and I'm going to do the bare minimum instead of doing my best in the job that I'm in.
Yeah, I have seen that, and it really does happen when people are not vested in it. And again, it's the communications, and sometimes people just miss it. Unfortunately, it's just missed. It's just missed in the whole job spectrum. But what are some of the early signs of burnout that people often overlook? I know we talked about a few just a minute ago, or they're just dismissed by management, period.
Yeah, it's loss of motivation. I'm no longer motivated to do my job. Increased irritability. So you have people who are more irritable in the workplace, towards colleagues and leadership. And you find someone and you're like, oh, they need a vacation, right? So it's understanding those are triggers. Those are things that, you know, there's probably something there. People that end up saying, I don't like what I do. I don't like my job. You might have a job fit. Issue. They're not congruent with the role that they're in. They probably should be doing something else, right? So all of those things are kind of warning signs that you should be not really concerned about, but aware of as you manage people in the organization or even amongst your, you know, team that you're working on.
Yeah, that is overlooked a lot of times. But how does the leadership style and the workplace culture contribute to burnout. I've heard a lot about that, how it can have an impact on certain styles. Management comes in different styles, shapes, and forms, and everybody just can't take the same dose of leadership that others can.
That is, you're so right. And I think leadership style matters when we, and culture to a certain point matters, right? So if you have a what they call hustle culture, or where you're asked to work without pause, right? Grind and get it done. Those things kind of perpetuate that burnout lifestyle, if you will, as opposed to having a culture where taking a mental health day is okay, taking vacation is okay, being able to have breaks in your day is okay, right? So when you have a culture that is grind at all costs, that is going to lead you more closer to burnout than if you had leadership or management that says, hey, I know, you know, if you've had a bad day, I'm going to take a mental health day. Oh, that's fine, right? When you normalize those type of activities, then teams and members of your team are able to take advantage of those things.
I got you. So help me. I think you're involved in some of that now, because when management, you know, the way they're leading and managing a group or a team, are aware that something is missing, can't they identify that if they don't resolve these problems or these issues, this group or this team, there's going to be more burnout and people leaving? I mean, you would want to think that leadership and management would want to protect, you know, the investment that they've made in training people, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I think where I sit, and, you know, part of what I teach is human behavior in organizations. How do leaders effectively lead within their organizations? It's normalizing those activities. While productivity and the bottom line are important for the organization, so is the health and mental well-being of your employees, because through them is how you get the productivity, is how you increase the bottom line, right? So investing just as much time and attention to the mental well-being of your staff and your organization will then in turn get you that bottom line result that you're looking for. And so it's educating our leaders that those things are important, and the lack of it will cost you in the long run.
I totally agree. I have been involved in training programs where, you know, you take leaders, and leaders, no matter what you come to the table with, you still need ongoing training and ongoing information in terms of, because things change, technology changes, and the way you address certain issues and problems with individuals on the job change. Leadership has got to be guided to a degree where they are trained in terms of even how to handle the changes that are taking place in the workplace. Because when you look at the workforce development and all the things that we have to, you know, manage, leaders, I mean, when you have yourself a good, solid, wholesome, whole leader that knows how to do the job, you can recognize them. They're easy to talk to. I mean, we can talk about all the good things that we see in great leaderships. You know, they can find you when they're too busy to do at a certain time. They will work you in. They will get back to you. I mean, I applaud and love to see strong and good, effective leaderships. I do. But when you find these people that they're just leading on the cuff and they don't have time except for anything of what they want to have time for, and they're I'll get back to you kind of thing, they're the ones that lead trouble for some of these people through burnout, because you're trying to satisfy these leaders who don't really want to lead effectively.
Right. And that's where, when I started out, I said that I use my social work degree more in the corporate setting than I thought I would. It's because of the skills, and it's because of the things that I learned as being a social worker that I bring to the workplace. And so I've had people who have reported to me, if I've moved to another team, they want to go with me, right? So you want to lead from a space of compassion and of empathy. Treat others how you would like to be treated. And you will have people who will bend over backwards to help you get to the next level.
That's true, very true. I have talked with people who have said that the particular leadership jobs that they had gone and applied for required them to have some coaching background. A lot of leadership positions now want you to know a bit about coaching because coaches are developed in different forms as well. But when you have learned certain tech coaching techniques and all, this is an added strength to anyone in a leadership and in management position because as a coach, you know how to do it, how to get the job done, and it's a great tool in leadership and management. When when you know the techniques of coaching, would you agree to that?
I absolutely agree with that. And it helps you develop your team members as well, right? So when you have people under your purview and you're able to coach them and guide them effectively, you're able to help them not only do the job that they're doing today, but you're developing them for their future role. Whether it's with you or not, you are
Exactly.
helping grow and develop them.
And you really have to look at it like that. A good leader and a good manager knows that, it's about professional development. And every leader, every management, you just must do that. I can recall when I had staff, it was the whole thing. I wanted to train them to be better than not, me, So when you leave this place, you will know this. And I worked real hard to try to do that. And I'd like to say I believe I did because I got to see them leave and go and do greater, bigger, and better things. And when you talk about personal development and professional development, that is what it is all about. And people learn that on the job. They
They do.
learn the steps of doing that on the job. And if they have a good leader or a good management, when they leave that place, they leave knowing how to use every skill back to the skills, everything that they've learned. But if you burn them out before they get a chance to do that because you're not leading them, it can create so many problems, Well, Shauna, let's do this. Let's take a break. If you can stick around for a few more minutes, we're going to take a break and we'll come back. I've got a few more questions for you. And then when we wrap up, I want you to share with the audience some things that they may want to do to look out for themselves in a position that they can foresee burnout coming. But let's take a quick break and then we'll wrap up when we come back. Okay?
Sounds good.
Great.
Have you tuned into the hottest personal development podcast by the incredible Gloria Sloan? If you're ready to grow, elevate, and upgrade your life, then the Gloria Show is your ticket to success. Gloria believes ultra-successful people never stop reaching for new heights, learning new skills, and finding true fulfillment. If you're looking for a fresh, informed perspective on life, the Gloria Show is here to lift your spirits and tackle the challenges standing in the way of your success. Each week, join Gloria as she brings her energy, insight, and over 3 decades of experience in business management and personal growth to help you unleash your power and transform your life. From personal development and career transitions to self-improvement and leadership, Gloria covers it all with practical advice and powerful resources. Laugh, cry, and be inspired as you learn how to elevate yourself to new heights. Whether you're looking to become healthier, happier, or more successful, Gloria's got you covered, so why wait? Tune into The Gloria Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on any of the Bold Brave TV social media platforms and start your journey to becoming the best version of you. Don't miss out on the ultimate guide to personal and professional growth. Listen weekly and let Gloria Sloan help you upgrade your life.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gloria Show. We are speaking with Dr. LaShawna Wiggs on occupational burnout. And we've been talking about how we can identify it and when it starts and management, leadership, many different ways that it comes about. And so, LaShawna, if you would jump back in and speak a little more in terms of what you have founded, the things that you have now that are existing, in the role that you have now that speaks to that. And most importantly, what are some of the most effective steps someone can take when they recognize burned out? You know, do you have people out there just working and don't even realize they burn out, but they don't even know they're burned out? They don't want to identify, they don't want to call it burnout.
Right. Yeah. So I think what I've done is when my doctor took me out of work to give me a break from the stressors at my job, it was, all right, I need to understand, how did I get this way and how do I get out of it? Mm-hmm. And doing work that aligned with what I felt my purpose and my passion was, which is how I ended up in the consulting space. I knew I wanted to speak, I wanted to teach, and I wanted to consult in this space. And because I do that, that work is meaningful to me. And I have personal satisfaction from doing that type of work. And so I would encourage you to find what you enjoy and find work that aligns with that. When you are out of alignment with what you feel your purpose is, that's going to contribute to your burnout because you're not doing work that's considered meaningful or fulfilling to you. Understanding boundaries was another thing that I struggled with, is I was always available. And we've gotten to a point where, you know, you always had a phone on you. You always had access to your email. Creating boundaries that allowed you to take time away and separate from the work that you do. That was important as well. Therapy was important for me. Normalizing taking your PTO. It's okay to take your time off. And those were things that I struggled with because I felt like if I took time off, I would be behind. Not realizing that I needed that time in order to recover from the work that I was doing. And so we've gotten into a culture of you're always grinding, you're always on, and we have to get to a culture where that we have established balance. And it takes practice to do. And so I block my calendar. There's times on my calendar that I'll block. And, you know, my team and I call it, we'll go out and touch grass, right? So go out, get some fresh air, and then return, right? So as you're breaking up those activities, I would find myself not have gone outside, and I would have been on calls from the time I got to work to the time it was time to leave. I purposely put time on my calendar so that I can separate and create space for me to think. You have to be intentional about putting those things in place and protecting the boundaries that you establish for yourself.
Yeah, I think that is very important because every company, every corporation, every organization, because there's burnout in organizations as well, they don't have an open door to the services of human resources. Now, we're not going to talk about anybody's position or job, but I'm saying there are some companies that have a built-in, if I can say it, avenue of a place where employees can have a sounding board before anything big blows up. You know, it's usually kept quiet. And management and leadership, they try to do it in a very tactful way. If you have someone that comes to you and they're saying, you know, they're complaining with a whole list of things and this is going wrong, no manager really wants to hear this or see this. But if there's an avenue to get them into the human resources. I mean, that's what they're there for, to do more than to hire and fire people. But, you know, there is some balance. I truly do believe that when you have a person that cares about employees to the degree that they can come in and talk it out, just like you say, they know something's wrong. You know, I like this job, but something's going wrong and I need to talk to somebody about it. So for me, I would say to people, if there is a sounding board, or if the company or organization has someone that you can talk to about your feelings, a lack of communication, a lack of productivity, before you just jump up and quit, go every measure that you can to make sure you have tried to talk through or work this thing out before you get too burned out that you just leave or get fired.
Yeah. And I call them, I guess you can call them a SAM. So you need a sponsor, an ally, mm-hmm. and a mentor. Right?
You do.
So you have to have someone. And oftentimes when you get to certain levels, you want to have someone that you can confide in, someone that you can, you know what, I'm just having a bad day today. I need to vent for a moment. Right. You have to have someone that you can confide in. And it can be through informal channels. It doesn't always have to be through a formal channel, but it's having someone. And I remember I worked at one company and they used to do employee engagement surveys. And one of the questions was, do you have a best friend at work? They don't necessarily want to know if you have someone that is absolutely your best friend, but do you have someone that you can talk to? Do you have someone that you can confide in at work? Is there someone that you can turn around and be like, I just had a bad call and I need to vent for a second? That is helpful in the moment, right? So you have someone at work that you feel like I can go to and I can share my concerns with. Sometimes that was me. Even though I was the manager, I was giving marriage advice and you know, counseling.
Yeah.
And so managers need to have that emotional intelligence training. You need to be able to meet your employees where they are and be able to help guide them to where they need to be.
That is so true. If you're a manager, or you have a leadership role in a company, corporation, and even organizations, because, you know, they all come in on different levels. But to have that, and I say experience, but the know-how of being able to be a great listener, and they can identify these things. If you're working for someone who's a good listener and who demonstrates all the skills of being a person that they care, they're empathetic, they have, you know, they want to reason with you. If you are working for a person like that, then chances are you have an open door of being able to go in and have a talk and discuss. And how many times have you heard managers or people say, well, I have an open door policy. They can come in here anytime they want and talk. You know, well, if you say that, and if there's truth to that, you know, I think that goes with your management style. Employees have to see this. It's got to be noticeable. You can say things off the cuff, but I think a good manager and a good leader and a supervisor, they have to demonstrate. And when you are demonstrating that, then your staff, your team, they see that. They're more comfortable to be, you know, in the space with you. I know people who are just scared to death to be in a meeting with their leaders, their managers, because, you know, it just doesn't go well because they're in fear of, you know, tension. And then that's when stress spills in. So I agree with you that management and leadership need to be trained to recognize some of the things that are happening with their team members before the burnout process. If not, you know, you lose good employees, you lose people who really even sometimes still do like their job. They like what they do. It's just the environment and the structure of it. They know what they're doing. It's just something that's there that management is not taking a good look at. Do you believe that?
I absolutely do. That's where the motto, people don't quit jobs, people quit people.
That,
So
people don't quit
it
jobs.
always leads back to that. I can do almost any job. I can't do it for almost anybody, right? So it's managers and leaders understanding that you can get someone who's doing a job, and it may not be the job that they want to do, but they are invested in the job and they believe in their leadership to do that job because they know that it'll get them to the next phase in life, right? If you treat them well, if you are managing someone in a way that is demoralizing and it creates a level of burnout, you are potentially losing a very valuable asset for your organization.
That's true. And how many times have we seen it happen? People have just left. They said, I just can't deal with it anymore. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. And yet we're expected to do this, 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 and have this report ready, this, to this meeting. And then to a lot of times, often people who travel, some people have traveling jobs, and even the travel begins to be, you know, it's travel, but that's what I tell people, all corporate and company travel isn't as glorified as it may seem, because you have to go to so many different places and all, because you're taking still that burnout stress with you. And when you come back, you know, it's the same thing. So it's not always a break when you have to, you know, travel and go out of the office. It's not always a fix.
It is not always great. I had one person who used to travel as part of their job every week, and they would wake up and be like, I don't remember what side of the bathroom, you know, the bathroom is on, because you were in hotel rooms so often that, you know, you just lost, you know, your orientation. And it's not always glamorous. So you can do a lot of travel, but over time it begins to wear on
it
you.
Yeah, I agree, because I have experience and I have heard the same thing, and I know it for a fact. You know, when you live out of two different suitcases and you're going from one region to the other, you know. So those of us who have been in you know, been on the traveling thing, you know, it's not all glamorous. But the whole thing is, what we're talking about today is allowing or hoping that individuals recognize when they're experiencing this burnout. So before you leave, how can companies better support employees to avoid burnout while meeting business goals?
I think normalizing mental health, normalizing employees taking that time to reset, rejuvenate, right? So giving them that permission that it's okay to take the time that you need. Training managers on emotional intelligence, on coaching, on growth plans for your employees, having regular employee check-ins with your staff. When I had one-on-ones with my team, I didn't start with the numbers. I didn't start with the job. It's, how are you doing? How's your family doing? Right? Those things matter. It's the small things in those gestures that show that you care for me as a person and not just as a person who moves a widget for you.
That is so true.
Yes, creating those different things, and then having sustainable workloads, not expecting, you know, people to operate as machines, and, you know, providing some reasonable expectations that people can use in order to do their jobs.
That is so true. That's so true. When you have management or leadership that, like I said before, when they're empathetic, when they care, when they ask about family, even, you know, if you don't have family, even your dog, you know, just act like you, you know, demonstrate caring, and that, yes, it is about the job, but before we talk about the issues with the job, how are you? Because when a person is mentally, has mental well-being, they're more inclined to be stable on the job. And in my opinion, the mental well-being, and if you are a manager or a leader to a group, an organization, if you are putting the things in place that allow your team, your staff to have mental well-being. And when I say mental well-being, give them space, room to breathe, listen to them. You can't be everything. They can be everything to all people, but a good manager listens well, and they can identify any of these pre-burnout things that could come up if they're just listening and caring. As busy as they may be, sometimes you really just have to stop, especially if you want to keep a valued employee. If you want to keep the talents and the gifts that you have. If not, they'll get burnt out, they'll leave. And some of them don't mind telling you, I left because, you know, I didn't see any caring here. I mean, you know, I was just coming in doing what I was supposed to do. But, you know, you'll find somebody easily to replace me. It won't be me, but you'll find a replacement. So I think that those are some ways that companies can support employees to avoid burnout. Did I leave out anything that you might want to add to it?
No, I think speaking as a Black woman, we are meant to be everything to everybody at times. And so it's okay to take time for yourself and to prioritize yourself, whether it's in the work setting or whether it's at home. And I think if we normalize that and provide the tools for us in the workplace, we will be more healthy individuals because of it.
And when you're more healthy, you're more productive, you're happy. And you know, and for the most part, I find people who live that life on the job, it's easy to be picked up or noticed by someone else. When you have a good teammate or someone you work real good in, they're observing and seeing how you do things. Hey, and they want to go to lunch with you. They want to hang out with you. They want to socialize because you demonstrate pleasantness and happiness on the job. And they're scratching their head. Hey, where's she doing that? You know, but it's a mental thing. And when you can wrap your head around your position, your job, and demonstrate that, it really does, in my opinion, show off on to others. And you present yourself as a very, very good, stable employee, but we just have to remember the burnout signs. LaShawna, it has been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful having you on the show today. Thank you so very much. I am just so glad that our paths took us to Paris to meet and that we came back and connected and you found your way to be on the show. Thank you so very much. Is there anything you would like to share with the audience in terms of how they can contact you if they'd like additional information? Maybe there's a leader or a company out there that would like your services. Feel free right now to tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Well, thank you. Yes, so I'm very active on LinkedIn. So I am at LaShawna Wiggs on LinkedIn, and my company is Savvy, SAVVI Consulting, LLC.com. And so I am happy to meet with anyone for an exploratory conversation just to kind of help you talk through any challenges you might have.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you again for being on the Gloria Show, and we'll be in touch again. Come back to see us.
Thank you so much, Gloria.
You're welcome. We just had LaShawna Wiggs talking about the burnout and all of the things that happen and can happen on the job. And again, we've talked about it many times on this show, women experiencing burnout from one level to the other level, and how management and leaders often just miss it because the signs are there, but they lose valuable employees with gifts and talents because the burnout syndrome is not recognized. Well, we hope that if you were listening to the show today or you saw the show today, that something was said to help you to be able to avoid company burnout. And if you do notice and see that you are an employee or you have an employee who is experiencing the signs of company burnout, talk to them, make time and make way to be able to save a career, show some compassion that you do care about that person. Okay, so now before we leave, here are my announcements again. Coming up soon, next month even, we're going to celebrate 1 year of the Gloria Show. You're going to be hearing more about it. I am just so excited about that, being able to bring some excitement, more excitement to the table, and to share with you how we have grown 1 year on the Gloria Show. So please mark your calendars for, I think it's the second Tuesday in May, we will have that celebration of the Gloria Show. But now, next on the agenda of announcements, I want to tell you what will be coming down the pipe, and what's on the horizon is the second edition of Life Skills for the Journey. Life Skills for the Journey is coming out, and with that will be a companion workbook. I am so excited about that because that companion workbook is going to act as a guide to help you to dig deeper into the second edition. It's going to have more empowerment in it, and I am just so excited to be able to present that to you very, very soon. The second edition of Life Skills for the Journey with a companion workbook that I know is going to be beneficial and helpful. It's going to help you to upgrade, to elevate, and to get past where you are now to where you want to go. It will be there for you. Next week, I believe we're going to have an exciting guest on the show, Dr. Yes, Summer, Kayla Summers. She's going to be visiting with us today, next week. And I hope that you will tune in because she's going to bring some good information to us. So on next Tuesday will be Dr. Kayla Sumner. Please join us then. Well, until next week, again, I always say ultra successful people never stop reaching new heights, learning new things to elevate and upgrade and to be bigger, better, and know more and learn more in life. Continue to do that. Have an amazing rest of your day, the rest of your week. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you again next week on the Gloria Show. Goodbye for now.
This has been The Gloria Show with host Gloria Sloan. Tune in each week as Gloria will help you to unleash your power and improve your personal and professional life. Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Bold Brave TV network, powered by B2 Studios.